Colin laughing on the phone, and I and he said, "Oh, Sean called. Moped won't start. Gonna be late."
please tell me you just left it there.
I at first I did. Yeah, I was just like, his moped won't start. He's gonna be late.
Matter of fact. Late. I was just like, I thought he works from home. Pretty rough circumstance.
It doesn't change that the moped wouldn't start.
Jesse, my wife is actually sick, and she had the same like start path, I think, that you did. Mm-hmm. I had a late meeting. It was a day, and so I had this late meeting, and afterwards I was like, you know, what can I get you to eat? And we went through this whole thing, and eventually it kind of landed that she wanted this bowl place that's very close to the house. Like, I should probably walk. And mm-hmm. I was like, I'm on a moped down there because it's so close that, like,
yeah,
it'll take 2 minutes. It'll be great. And then I won't have to deal with parking. Like, it's not like there's never parking down there, but it's a busy-ish street. So there's times where it's a little tricky to park. And I'm not going to – I can't imagine driving 4 blocks to park 2 blocks away from the place. You know what I mean? Right? So I'm like, I'll just ride the moped.
But as a petrol head, you have to take some sort of petrol device.
Right.
I honestly –
got a new bike.
I would have walked if I had 20 minutes, but I had 10. So,
it's our fault.
How fast is your new bike?
It's faster than my moped, I think. And it doesn't need to start. So, I probably should have done that. Less cargo capacity. Anyways, I went to start the moped. Front tire was a little low, so I pumped her up. Went to start it. No go. And so I hit it with some brake clean in the carb. I got a couple fires and then nothing. So, who knows? It's been sitting for 3 or 4 months. So
you 100% have a crystallized carburetor fuel.
Yeah, something like that. I don't even know if I've ever even cleaned the carb on the thing. This happens like yearly when I pull it out of hibernation if it's been sitting for a while, and then it just starts. Eventually, like I probably kind of flooded it with brake fluid brake cleaner because I was in a hurry.
So you clean the carb.
Come on.
Yeah, no, so that's a carb cleaner.
Sit for a little bit, and then either tomorrow or 2 months from now when I go to try to start it again, it'll probably start.
Seems reasonable.
Yeah, you loosened everything up with all that brake clean.
That's right. I took the car, I got down there, and I found a parking spot, and so it worked out beautifully.
Well, good.
You guys had enough tech issues that I could eat my food while we got started.
What car? Great. What car did you take though?
Audi, because you know.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Comfy, available. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. No procedure to start it.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no question that it might also not start.
Well, yeah, exactly.
I was going to say.
It's still an Audi. You're right.
Yeah, it's
could
an Audi.
Have an issue.
I've been jump starting my Land Cruiser for the past month because I don't drive it enough to keep a charge on the almost dead battery. So basically it's just like I pop the hood, I hit the little smart switch, and I start the truck, and that's it. So that would have taken me extra time. And then, of course, the bug is the bug.
I have to go through and do Miles's dirt bike before the season starts because he's been itching to go ride. And then I bought a TTR 90 to have a little pit bike run around for me to ride because it's his next bike, which will be great. I bought it from Oliver, actually.
Okay.
So it was very cheap. And I know the level of maintenance it's had is none. It has been jumped and dropped off a truck.
Why makes you say that?
Because he told me. He says, I was like, when was the last time you did an oil change on this? He goes, I don't know. I think I've had it for like 4 or 5 years. And I was like, well, that's not an answer. And he's like, well, I haven't done one in that time.
It is an answer. It's like, just not to the question you asked.
Yeah.
Like, well,
basically, his maintenance is if it breaks, I will improve it.
Yeah, it'll get better. Mm-hmm. Now, and that's kind of what
anything
like,
in between,
not a bad model.
Not so much.
He's like, he was waiting and then he was going to do a big bore on it if it needed anything. And I was
see,
like, oh, okay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Why do an oil change if you could
proving
just
the point right
buy
there.
A big bore kit?
Yeah.
So I got new stickers for that. I'm going to change the oil in it, clean it all up, and get it ready.
Did you lead with stickers? Is that what you just did?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I bought stickers first. Okay. Are you kidding?
Okay, cool.
That That's the only way you can get a dirty, used, old dirt bike and then make it look cool right off the bat.
Hey, Mike, have you done an oil change on that thing? Well, I bought stickers.
I haven't ridden it anywhere yet either.
One way.
So, because Haley's going to ride it around, like when we go to the Alvord and stuff, and I'll bring my bike and Miles's bike and her bike now. And that'll be a fun setup. But to make her excited about it, I got the, it's like Mexican blanket themed stickers, which is pretty cool. It's their Baja inspired sticker kit for the TTR. So I'm very excited about that. Get it cleaned up. And then I just put tires and got better bark busters and fixed the throttle stuff on my bike. So it is good.
Oh, I thought this was the TTR. I was going to ask if you got upsold on tires for that too.
No. Nope. TTR.
Have you ridden your bike since the new tires? You were talking about them last time.
I have not. I've rode it back from where I got them. It's been like, as soon as I was like, it's so nice, we should ride. Got the tires done, got it all done up so that it works correctly now. Because my throttle used to stick real bad. Which was cool if you wanted it to be kind of like a, you know,
cruise control,
but it wasn't cool because you don't ever want that to happen all the time.
That's like a brand new motorcycle. What happened?
It was my fault. Oh. I put some bark busters on there and they weren't exactly the right ones for this rig. And so I kind of bent them into place, but I had everything set up well enough. And then when I put it back together, cause put some decent bars on it and did some other stuff after the first time I crashed it. The bars bent right away. So I was like, we're going to get some aluminum bars and they'll be nice. But the bark busters I had kind of like a fit in place end cap that didn't fit over my or under my throttle tube. And so it kind of just always rubbed. And I tried to make some space and tried to cut it out and tried to do this and that. And it just never worked right. So I just got rid of them and bought real ones. To be fair, I did buy them for $11 off of Temu. And I ran them for, you know, 6 months, almost a year worth of riding. So,
got your money's worth.
And I bought some real ones and they're on their way. Yeah, I'm excited to see how a better front tire does, because that's been my biggest problem with it is I don't ride it because I'm afraid the front tire is going to kill me. And it's tried. Well, I had to get new bars. But yeah, so I did that. I fixed the Jeep brakes problem. I don't know if I've talked about that much on here, but my Jeep, when I go back and forward between park and neutral and park and neutral, or park and reverse and park and reverse, and really shifting any gears back and forth, turning, doing a lot of stuff that we would do when we're on the rocks trying to get through an obstacle, sometimes my brakes will just go away. Completely. Like, nothing there. Foot to the floor. Pump them up. They kind of come back and everything's okay. But turns out my brake booster one-way valve had a really big, terrible like O-ring on the side of it that was just like hard plastic, super cracked, super open. And so even though the one-way valve wouldn't let vacuum out of the brake booster under those low vacuum situations, the air was just seeping around the outside of the gasket. And so I replaced that, and now I've had good brakes, which I'm really excited about, because some of these places that I've been putting the Jeep, when the brakes go away, there are trees behind me, and I have...
Oh, you mean... Really? Like me and the Range Rover the first time I took it out?
Yeah.
On that one.
Yep, that one.
So maybe I have the same problem, because I also, when it's
sometimes goes
low
away.
RPM and switching between reverse and forward or whatever, it's very just, soft and whew. Doesn't seem like it wants to stop.
Yeah, so that was a 14 cents fix, because...
An operational e-brake would also have been handy. I could have... utilized that.
I don't have one of those either.
So yeah, that's another thing I get to tackle as well.
I don't have one of those, but I do have an operational parking pole. So
I don't have one of those.
Yeah. The 8.8, there's like you buy the right stuff off a WJ or a ZJ and it'll connect to the XJ stuff and then the 8.8, then you can have emergency brake again. But I just haven't done any of that. Seems like you should, but I haven't.
I'll get there.
Yeah.
On my, eventually.
I probably won't.
I have other fish to fry.
Yeah.
Yeah, where are you at there, Colin?
Well, let's see. If I was to go over all of the things, I got the high angle. I ended up breaking down and getting the high angle ball joint, cool. Just because of simplicity, rather than like reinventing the wheel for this one joint that is, you know, not on ideal arms and all of that. I just went with the best I can do. Far as stock goes, I had to cut off the top part of the mount that it mounts onto the axle because I could not get it flat enough, even with using my winch down underneath the car, like underneath the axles, back up to it with the broken ball joint in there and like pulling on it to try and force it down.
Still nothing.
It would not bend. This thing is... I mean, it's got to be, it's at least 3/16. It's thick. It's probably thicker than that, actually. It's probably around 1/4 inch thick, like steel. So it was not bending at all. So I cut it off, brought it in here to the shop, and used the press
to flatten it
on the, on the press. And I got it pretty close. It still has like a little bit in it, but it's like, I mean, it's minimal compared to what it was, obviously.
Well, and it's a ball joint, so it's never going to be in the perfect position ever because it's always doing something anyway.
The less flat it is, the less angle I get to use. So I got that back home, welded it on, installed the ball joint, and as in the process of doing all this, I found that my rear shocks were shorter than they should be. Let's just put it that way. My rear shocks, like, I mean, when I was out in it or when I was jacking it up from like the slider or whatever, I was noticing that it's like, man, this thing doesn't want to droop nearly as much as I know it should be able to.
Right.
And so I unbolted, because it's just a pin mount on the bottom of the shock, I just undid the nut and jacked it back up again, and sure enough, like, that thing can flex way past. Like, I can dislocate 3-inch springs like 5-6 inches from their mounts.
So it's gonna be like the front of my Jeep. You're gonna start to spring bouncing as well.
Yeah. So what I was going to do was, so also in this process I found out that I did in fact bend the pins on the shocks when the axle rolled too far forward. Not bad, but they're bent. So I was like, okay, well, there's two reasons to replace these shocks. Yeah. I found the part number on them. They're actually only for a 2-inch lift. It has 3-inch springs. So
yeah,
this already doesn't add up, obviously. So I was going to buy matching shocks that I have in the front because it's got 7100s in the front. I was like, oh, it'd be nice to upgrade to have matching shocks, you know. And I wasn't worried about the price or anything like that. It's just that it changes the mount style. So it would change it to be an eye to eye rather than a like eye to pin, basically. Yeah. And in the process of like measuring and figuring out how long I would want them and yada yada yada, I came across a set of 5100s sitting in my garage that I took off my last Range Rover, which was not a classic. It was the L322. And I went, huh, I wonder if those are the right length. And as it turns out, they are. And they're the same and they're the same mount style. They're a eye top and pin bottom.
That's
so
crazy.
Totally lucked out on that.
That's great.
The only difference was the top, the eye bushing is too small. So the upper mount on the Range Rovers is like it bolts onto the frame and then it's a giant, it's a 3/4 inch pin that sticks out. So the bushing is supposed to go over the pin basically. And on the, those Bilsteins, they're, you know, for like a half inch bolt or some crap, you know, like it's not like they're not super big. So I went and spent $24 on a 3/4 inch drill bit. And I drilled those fucking bushings out, stuck them suckers on there. And now the back flexes much more in line with what I thought that it should flex. So my my front, I can dislocate the front springs by about 2 inches, and the back I can dislocate those springs by 3.5 or 3.25 inches. So it's so pretty good. So now I got to figure out getting the springs to stay in place.
Honestly, that's good news too, because you would have had that high angle ball joint, and it wouldn't have even.
It would have been the same. Worthless. Yeah,
I would. Yeah, you wouldn't have got to.
I wasn't even getting to
the low angle. Yeah,
of it. Yeah. So, but yeah, basically what I found out in all that is like the rear can and the front too, because the front they're limited. It's limited by the shock that's in it.
Right.
So the front still could flex more than it does, even though it's fairly decent, and the back could go a ton. The only thing I was worried about with like getting something crazy long is because it pulls that whatever side's drooping, it pulls
forward
that forward.
Yeah.
My drive shaft isn't centered. Drive shaft is offset to the passenger side.
Mm-hmm.
So my concern was if it can flex too much on the passenger side, I could jam my drive shaft and cause a bind there. So I went modest and only allowed it to dislocate 3.5 inches. But
reasonable.
I have a driveline vibration. I haven't figured out if it's the driveline. I got a weird suggestion today from a fellow Land Rover guy about if it's the pinion flange maybe got a
little womp
slightly because of how it got pulled. I don't know how likely that is, considering how much stuff there is to bend in between.
And really, like, that would be a press again. So that would, like, be it shoving way forward and bending that flange. Because if it's coming out, it's just separating the drive shaft. So unless you were moving fast enough that it hit something and then bent it, but you weren't.
Yeah.
It just kind of flopped around a little bit. But even then, the drive shaft didn't seem to flop around that much to bend anything.
I've got half the mind to, since I have the drive shaft out, because I was just going to take it into Newhouse to have them look at it.
Yeah.
I have half the mind to, even though it was built by a driveline place, to phase it incorrectly and
see if it works.
If it still vibrates. Because when it's phased correctly, it does. And I wouldn't think that a drive shaft place would phase a drive shaft incorrectly when they built it.
To be fair,
but
your shocks
could have been popped apart too.
And yeah.
it's possible this has happened before in a way, and they got put back together too.
Yeah. So since it's, you know, it's a total of 8 nuts and, you know, 10 minutes of my time, I'm thinking I'll probably.
Yeah, just
phase
try
it incorrectly,
every couple of teeth
and then. Well, because you want the actual ball joints or the ends of the U joints.
Well, yeah.
To match up in some fashion.
Well, I would normally agree, but it's currently doesn't work.
Well,
so try.
If it doesn't get any better with them lined up, it's not going to be better with them not lined up. So, I'll try it and just see what it does. But yeah, it. When it's not in there, I can drive it in front wheel drive and it's smooth, no issues. So I'm fairly certain it's drive shaft because, you said, wasn't going at speed. I was not heavy throttle. I really doubt that there's something beyond the drive shaft, like in the rear axle or something, that is an issue. So,
yeah. And it was that. It was that joint that failed. It wasn't like you broke a drive shaft or an axle shaft. It wasn't like you broke a pinion, anything. It's not, none of that stuff did anything weird.
Nope.
So, no, it really should.
So, yeah, that's where I'm at. I improved my rear suspension while while fixing it. So
that's good.
Yeah.
I keep looking at mine and going, I need to move my shackle placement because now I have the drawers in the back and the ass end sags a little bit. I have that like 9-bolt option shackle mount in the rear.
Mm-hmm.
And so I could just move it forward one and it would lift the rear end up just a little bit and the shackle would be a little further away and it wouldn't bump when I hit bumps and go, you know, into the, I just haven't, I got a Volkswagen in the garage taking up all my space. So I don't have room to put the Jeep in.
I do all my work in the driveway, bud.
I know.
No excuses.
My
driveway's not flat either, so.
Well, mine's not either.
Yeah, your driveway's not flat?
Yeah. Ooh, yeah. Mine's not as bad as Jesse's, but it's a hell of a lot worse than yours.
Yeah, mine's not bad, but it's not flat.
I almost have a flat spot in the alley behind my garage because my car doesn't fit in the garage, so.
Well, what you do, Sean, is you pull over the ditch, so then you've got a pit to work in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I've thought that's about convenient. Digging a pit.
No, I do, when I load the back of it for, like, camping, I'll park on my neighbor's, like, driveway, which is, like, 2 feet lower than mine.
Yeah.
And the front is down on the, actually, on the next neighbor's part of the driveway, so the whole thing is just kind of, like, this nice you little angle.
Start rolling things into the rig and it just falls into place.
Grab a piece of plywood, set it on the tailgate, and just start rolling shit in.
Roll everything in there.
Yeah. That would make life much easier. Instead, as I'm sure you guys all know, it's 1,700 trips with one item.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then opening and closing and opening and closing and opening.
Well, because you got to make sure that item goes into the place it's supposed to go, and then you have to close everything up so that nothing gets stolen. Yeah.
But then there might be a better place for it once you get the next
thing. I know, and then you have to undo it and then do the other part. Nope.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
I started watching last night the, have you ever seen the Ozzy Arvo's channel?
I know of them, but I don't watch them.
They're like a couple of younger guys. I don't want to say kids. I mean, they're kids, but younger guys,
kids.
Like brothers.
Those kids.
And I started watching them through the King Chrome build challenge thing, and I've seen a couple.
That's basically
of the kids.
How
one
I
of them's
got
an,
as well.
Yeah, one of them's got a really cool patrol. The other one's got an 80, and the 80's all right. He just redid it, and it's pretty cool.
That's the real reason.
But he's like,
watches.
Oh yeah, of course. he's redoing his.
He likes to look in the
like
mirror.
12-volt system. Yeah. And it got me thinking, like, oh man, I want to do that. And then I was like, I don't want to do that right now. Everything works. Why would I? Why would I do that?
Mess with success.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the problem with the Jeep. The only thing that was like broken dangerously is the brakes. And I fixed that with the little gasket thing. And I was like, it's probably fine for a while. I have a winch in the garage just sitting there ready to go on.
Yeah.
I got some suspension stuff I need to check out because I was looking at it, and you know how my springs are kind of C-shaped?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
ooh.
They elongated the upper mount with a drill bit or something multiple times to allow the front axle to roll forward a little bit before they tightened it down. So, because the three-link, kind of.
Yeah, because everybody likes positive caster.
Well... Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if it wasn't done to stop it from having like some sort of death wobble issue. So I'm going to try and put it back and I'm probably going to put a washer on it. And if it seems fine when I move it back a little bit and the springs look better, if everything drives fine, then I'll weld that washer in place so that it becomes permanently mounted. luckily, it only has one upper link, so I can adjust the heck out of it, and I don't have to try and match another side or anything. Yeah. But
well, the upper link is for your pinion angle, though.
Yeah, but it's got all kinds of room up there. It's like dead nut straight, and it's got a
well, I just
two
mean, like,
sweater
for moving back and forth. It's
I know, but
it's not for moving back and forth. It's for pinion.
Well, but it's
mostly.
Right, but I'm talking about for a caster to try and get it straight up so my springs are better lined up. So we'll see. I'm not going to do it until something else goes wrong enough that I have to get further in there.
Yeah, wait till a mount rips off and pulls the drive shaft apart,
and then you can
fix things.
And maybe I'll cut off that upper arm and do something adjustable
mm-hmm.
so that way I can fine-tune it.
Yeah.
There you go.
And then I don't just have to have a oval.
What about Jesse? Did Jesse... have any lovely raw dog updates, or I guess, or Toyota updates, or 100 series updates. Jesus, how many Toyotas do you have?
Two. Three.
How many rigs do you have?
I got three now.
Yeah, you have that two-wheel drive, don't you? Yeah.
I got the two-wheel drive.
How many rigs
garage.
Are you fixing right now?
Yeah, tell us what's going on with the two-wheel drive. You were working on that last time I talked to you.
Yeah, two-wheel drive hasn't made much progress. I got to finish the steering linkage. I got all the parts for it. Got to do it. And I've been going through and like once every 2 days, just spraying everything with some ATF. And so it's half ATF, half acetone. Mm-hmm. Just to make sure that when I go to take it off, I'm not fighting it.
Mm-hmm. Quick side note to that. Has anybody seen the Australian brand of stuff for that? Like
no.
Their WD-40s and whatnot? I absolutely love it. I wish we had it here. It's literally called Shift Ya Bastard.
Yes.
I mean, yeah.
Straight
I
to
love
the point.
It. Yeah. Shift Ya Bastard is a great moniker.
That's a solid one.
They have a line of products, and I'm going to look it up real quick so I can get all the names because they're all
they're really
in
solid.
That,
multi-purpose lube
in that
spray.
Vein. It's great.
I just watched the Project Farm guy do the best brake clean, and then I went back and watched the best like brake free. You know who the Project Farm guy is, right?
Yeah.
No, but so, best brake clean?
Yeah.
So he the goes cheapest brake clean.
No, he's a tester. The best. Honestly,
that is the best brake
honestly
brake.
Not
the
true.
Kind you buy by the
on
case.
Sale.
Honestly, not true. Because
I've never, I mean, I've used, I'm not going to, this guy is obviously doing the science and I appreciate
oh, yeah, he's
that.
Doing
but I've
work.
Used a lot of brake clean. I know that we all have, but I've used
oh, yeah.
a lot of brake clean. And I can't tell you that I've ever noticed a difference.
Turns out you have to buy $12 a can Hermitex brake clean.
I've never bought that. So then,
but yeah, so that's the price per ounce is the best, because it's like a heavier can. It has more in it, but also it is the only
I
one
just
that's
buy
almost
mine by the 5 gallon jug. I don't
well,
know about you guys.
The chlorinated stuff works setup. Really well, and then the Permatex works the same as the chlorinated stuff, but it's non-chlorinated, and then everything else is kind of shit.
Degrees, you bastard. Start, you bastard. And shift, you bastard.
I like start, you bastard.
So good, man.
Oh, like, man.
That
man,
is
that's
it's solid.
Absolutely ingenious right there.
I love it.
So it's Nulon, which I don't know that we get these products here, but Sean, maybe you can get these stateside somehow with
you want
your
me to
connections.
Bring,
yes, yeah. you can.
Bring some in.
Yeah, bring some in with your connections. We can be the stateside rep this, for the Nulon Shift, you bastard.
They can, yeah, they can sponsor the podcast. Yeah.
That'd be great. We could just make them a sponsor for fun. I mean, we're just, hey, the news today is brought to you by Nulon Shift, you bastard, and then move on.
Well, we could start a campaign called Got It For You, you bastard.
Yeah.
Yeah. That reminds me of like, you know, folks, Euro Volkswagen guys being confused as to why you would want Euro parts. I could imagine that conversation with an Australian being like, hey, I want some of this stuff. It's like, we don't get it here. And they'd be like, what? Why? It'd be like someone saying, hey, could you ship me some WD-40? I'd be like, "What? Well, I guess.
WD-40 is very popular in Australia.
I might not be able to ship that, I guess, but you know.
Yeah.
The big market?
It's one of the main title sponsors of the Mighty Car Mods guys.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's too bad. They should really switch over to the Nulon line.
I'm sure they would. That's right. They like to support Australia. So
I can't that, believe man. How many subscribers Project Farm has. And I don't want to blow this guy up and say anything bad about him, but I'm just kind of looking at the previews for these and I cannot believe that he's got this kind of following.
He has a cult following. He does all kinds of stuff. He buys it all himself. Like he does everything from the best chainsaw to the best degreaser to the best like starting fluid, best spark plugs. Like he's got one for everything. Best weed whacker. He did winches once.
Air fryer.
Yeah. Oh yeah. He does vacuum cleaners, leaf blowers. Like this guy has done one of everything.
The last wall charger you'll ever need.
Okay. Yep. Yeah. No.
Yeah. Never given that any thought, but good for him. All right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he hasn't done everything because he still has a channel.
Well,
so
good point.
But if you don't, if he hasn't done it, you just send it to him like as a suggestion, and he probably will.
I'm trying to think of ridiculous premises that we could give him that he wouldn't do.
I think, like shy of it being illegal, illicit, or somehow dealing with items that may or may not be fit for human consumption, I'm pretty confident he would probably do it. I think he did like best office chair or something similar. Okay. Like this guy is getting after it.
Just got to have a wide spread of things. As soon as you get that view.
Mm-hmm. Now you're in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Now that you know about him, though, if you are looking at something in a store or something, you're like, I wonder which one of these is better. I bet he knows.
I gotta watch some of these videos to like understand if I trust his opinion, though. Ooh, that's the problem. That's true. I don't want to do that.
You also have to have a trusted source.
To be fair to him, he is well organized, but also like just a dude. He has no scientific background. He's just a guy in his garage. He goes, I kind of liked when I bought this, but then I went and used my buddies and it's way better. So I felt like I should get a better one. And so then I wanted to figure out which one of these is the best. And he does like, he'll put like a 5-pound weight on a paper towel and then like slide it across the paper towel. And that paper towel is a little more beat up than the other one. This paper towel looks like it did a little bit better. And he's like, these are all subjective. Because I'm scraping a paper towel with a 5-pound weight. But to me,
these tests as I go.
That one's a little better.
That's funny. I've watched, what is it? Is it Torque Test Channel?
Yes.
Yeah. I watched that. They'll do like, you know, tests. They'll like basically, you know, essentially like dyno an impact. Which is pretty cool, but some of them they're like super techie, and so sometimes I'm like, I don't know that I need to watch that. And to be fair, I've probably watched 4 episodes over the last 2 years. So
the only impact tests I've watched is when they battle them.
Oh yeah, the versus.
They use the
zip ties and get
zip tie the trigger down, and they've got the like
just flopping around on the ground
quarter drive or. You know, whatever, fucking half drive to half drive extension to attach the two of them. Yeah. All right, which one?
And they just like throw it in the middle of a room or,
That's the kind of testing that sounds fun.
Those are great.
Oh, they're great.
Huh. All right, cool. We're learning all sorts of stuff today.
Yeah. Right? Well, speaking of news, Sean, do you have any news?
I got 2 pieces of news. We haven't podcasted for a couple of weeks, I still didn't really find much, but. First one that I'll bring up here, these are actually not even news as much as they are entertainment pieces, we'll say.
This one, entertainment.
Yeah. We'll someone figured out that
our you know, our tags.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The, you know, on the internet, we're news and entertainment.
Yeah, we used to be news.
Well, someone figured out that the Toyota Trail Hunter snorkel is not a snorkel. It's not sealed.
I love the title of this article.
It is a dust. It is a, I forget, they call it like a high flow dust intake or you know, anti-dust intake.
Oh.
And then.
So it's not fully sealed.
No. The author of this article did something that I thought, high mount air intake. But they did this plot twist. The TRD Pro, which is meant for going fast over unpaved earth, whereas the Trail Hunter is meant for going slow on unpaved earth, does not have a high mount air intake, which was kind of funny. But
well, just goes to show you functionality versus looks. That's how we end up with a Whittle Watter.
Yeah,
I wonder a little bit if maybe it is like. usable, but it's not like they won't stake a warranty on it, maybe, because
yeah.
I just read a thing that the Grenadier has the same thing. They won't call it a snorkel because it's possible for it to ingest water. But they also had the journalists testing the new ones in like 34 inch deep water. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, it seems to me that you are trying to cover your ass, maybe. That if you call it a snorkel, maybe, you know, yeah. if someone ingests yeah, water, then all of a sudden the manufacturer is at fault.
I want to say Land Rover does the same thing with the Defender, because the Defender has yeah. a high mount air intake, but I don't think they call it a snorkel, but they do like sell you on the, oh, our wading depth is 34 inches yeah. or whatever it is.
I think yeah. that might be it. I read that article and didn't mention that, but like the more that I was going along, I was like, I wonder if this is maybe what's going on. Fun fact, I saw a new Defender with a snorkel for the first time, I think, or I've ever, never noticed one with one the other day, just a bone stock, like new or year old one or something. It's kind of like that Trail Hunter one. It's like really sleek. It's like got a very, yeah. it's very close to the body.
Yeah, they really try to make it look and feel very integrated, because, you know, most of the people buying them aren't interested in having this weird thing hanging off the side of the fucking car.
No, it's really, it's for,
they wanted to discover.
It's for all of us yeah. fourth and fifth owners.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's, yeah. Oh, this one had the high mount intake. All right.
So we, interesting enough, with no snorkel at all, the Wrangler JL Rubicon Extreme 35 package is a 34-inch depth for wading depth before you get water.
You know, it's a fun story about that. I pulled that 34-inch number completely out of my ass.
Yes, I know, but that's what I was like. I'm just curious. Just I was like trying to
just
think gonna of
put some numbers out there.
I was just trying to think of like, all right, what is
a comparison?
A comparison mm-hmm. of a non-snorkeled vehicle or whatever. The one with the snorkel, which is the AEV package, can go up to 37.1. Which
that's
doesn't
really,
seem
that's
like
crazy.
That's
it's
enough.
Not- Yeah, that's not that much.
Well, it's because the snorkel still goes into the airbox. It's just yeah. where the airbox inlet is now that couple inches taller, because it's coming from outside the car rather than in the wheel well.
Well, and I wonder if there's not something else also that would be...
That's the main thing, and it's probably not like fully sealed either, yeah. so they can't...
Like where it comes through the fender. Yeah. It's,
you know, like you would have to actually seal everything in order for it to truly
yeah.
be a safe
yeah.
water snorkel.
I would venture a guess that we're running into technicalities on some of these. But.
And I wonder, like,
lawyer fees, yeah.
You're get to a certain point and your fuse box is completely underwater and it's not waterproof also, or your ECU
sure.
is in the
yeah.
engine
yeah.
bay, or your door seals aren't designed to stop water from the top.
I was going to say, yeah. I'm pretty sure I can take Raw Dog through about 5 feet of water, 4 feet of water, but the
so
entire inside
yeah.
is going to be in
yeah.
the water, because my door seals are garbage.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But hey, but my intake's out of the water.
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
okay.
It'll be like when Jock
I'm swimming,
took
but yeah.
The Parenti Land yeah. Rover across
oh my
that
God.
River, and everything floated out of his Land Rover.
So great.
Yep. Yeah.
Well.
Oh, good.
Next piece of news from Car and Driver, the comparison that none of us asked for, is the Honda Passport Trail Sport versus the Subaru Outback Wilderness.
Yes.
Yes.
Look at them.
Can I tell you which one I like more?
I thought already? This was an interesting comparison, because why... I guess maybe one's is red. There not a Forester, whatever you call it, Wilderness? I don't know.
Hell if I know.
Seems like it would be the Forester. But anyways, Trail Sport versus the Outback. Which one do you want, Jesse? What do you think? Who you got
the
here?
Honda. Honda.
Yeah,
okay.
The Honda is better
yeah,
just because.
Take, yeah, just because it says Honda on it, honestly. Yeah. Is, that's
I actually only wanted to share this for this one picture.
Ooh, brown interior, kind of like that.
Look at that.
Oh, yeah. Three-wheeling.
Oh.
Three-wheeling.
It got a wheel lift.
Yeah.
Well, that's...
Yeah, the Honda one, so.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Well, good. Of course.
The Subaru blew a head gasket on the way back from testing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crank seal.
It's,
lost.
Yeah,
lost needed itself.
Spark yeah. plug, so they had to pull the motor.
Transmission went out.
Yeah. The band just stretched, so it's always in neutral. Yeah.
I'm not forever the big
neutral.
Like.
That's why it's wheel lifting though. Yeah. It got stuck in neutral.
I think I've been quoted many times on this. I'm not the biggest Subaru as an appliance hater at all, but God, that thing is ugly. That Outback, the new one is like, maybe it'll grow on me because I like boxy cars, but it just looks so awkward.
I've had some WRXs and things in the past, and so I know
not
that
appliances.
I am
those suck.
Who I am?
Those just plain.
But
suck,
I still don't. I still don't like Subaru
not even
as
good
a thing.
As an appliance.
I think as a company, like they're Rally Heritage. There's some great stuff with Subaru. I just like you know, I'm not super excited about them otherwise.
I have to tag on to your news, Sean, because I saw this.
I saw this too.
Outsold the Hilux in Australia.
Wow.
That's impressive.
Yeah. So,
well, is it doing what the Chinese dirt bikes are coming to the US and they are outselling like Japanese and American and the European bikes by like nuts numbers because they're
it's
almost
it's
as good
it's
and
not,
they're half the price.
None of it is huge numbers yet, but initially so 15,564 private sales in Australia. Where the Hilux had 12,529, so it's not like a huge amount, but also the overall number is not huge yet either.
Right, it's just this
but
year.
But still, a neck and neck. Like that's
God,
but
it's such.
How cheap are they? How much?
Ooh,
the Shark was not that cheap. Better. It's not
competitively priced at 57.9 Australian before on road costs.
Okay.
So your usual drive-away deals, it says, is 55 to 60 range. So roughly in line with or cheaper than the comparable Hilux variants.
Yeah. That's because
so
that's
bet
what they're doing.
Tiny bit cheaper.
The dirt bikes that are coming from China are just, they're like really are almost as good and they're literally half the price. They're just eating the lunch of Honda and Yamaha and all that stuff just by volume because they're so cheap.
Yeah, combined 430 horsepower, 480 foot-pounds of torque versus the Hilux's 200 horsepower, 370 foot-pounds of torque.
Yeah.
I am a fan of these, by the way. I saw that one in person, and it was as good as
more,
I thought it was going to be.
The more I'm seeing them, the more I'm like getting on board with them. And obviously, you know, the more that they sell and the longer they're around, the better they're going to get. It's just going to be more and more competition, which is super cool.
And so, BYD is going to be able to sell in Canada. So
that was the other thing I was just going to bring up was this one.
Yeah.
That Canada dropped the Chinese EV tariffs. So now BYD is going to be coming into freaking Canada for, you know, regular ass prices.
They lose one hockey game and now they start Chinese.
This was before the hockey game.
Yeah,
lost
this was
because of this.
But it was a funny joke. I get it, Mike.
It was. I like it.
It was a good try, but
and also, I mean, maybe I'm standing alone in this, but BYD is objectively a better looking vehicle than that Hilux.
Than the Hilux, yeah.
It 100% is, I think.
Wow, that's
that's why I said objectively.
That's surprising from a Toyota guy, though.
I play for no team.
Well, I do agree.
I like my old Toyotas. Yeah, don't get me wrong, but I'll respect something that looks better.
See, look at that one.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's not bad right there.
I mean, it looks like a small Super Duty.
A little bit. Does,
a little bit.
Yeah. It does sound that
I mean,
line.
They're just like, hey, can we take a 2022 Ford and make it a little bit smaller?
It has some of that Ranger Super Duty look.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
a little bit,
but
yeah.
Somehow I think it does the Ranger better than the Ranger, though.
I think so too.
Yeah,
I think so too. Yeah, I'm not against it. I don't think that there's anything. I keep watching these reviews of them, and people are like, "Well, you know, it's got a little bit of oh no, well, actually, it worked. Okay, well, it might have some struggling when you get into the
a lot of the stuff that I've seen with their reviews and whatnot of them is it seems like it's it's a new car manufacturer, so it's a totally new platform. Like they're working stuff out, and they're like fixing it as they go. And
I'm sorry, the other thing that I interrupt, but I'm pretty sure Toyota's still fixing it as they figure it out right now.
From what I've heard, like, they've already made updates to them, like, and how they're like how certain things are getting made based off of their customer feedback. Like, so before they've even done a revamp of the car, they are fixing things that people that are using them are like, hey, if this didn't do X, you'd be way better off and you wouldn't get any complaints about it. And it's and they go and they do it. It's like it's like that's what every new car owner would like to have, right?
Yeah. There's another part of so I did a deep dive into the whole Chinese dirt bike thing and the Chinese dual sport thing because I was interested in it, and there's a few videos about it, and I was like, all right, I'm gonna watch all of them. And another one of the things,
all of them.
Well, there's like four, so that's plenty.
Well, there's only four.
I know.
There's got to be more than four. You weren't looking hard enough.
Talking about why the Chinese stuff is working so well, though, is because they, like CF Moto, will come out with one bike, and it's a 450, or Kobe will come out with one bike, and it's a 450, and then they have an 800 as the other bike, and that's it. And so, Yamaha, or let's say Honda has a smaller bike, and they want you to buy that so you can get used to it.
Four variants of the 450.
And then they have another one, and then they have another one, and it has a, there's a moto version, and then there's a this version and a that version, and they want you to buy them all, kind of. And so they can't step on their own toes. And so you get into like the Transalp, which is their entry level dual sport that's good for road going. Well, it can't be as good as the Africa Twin at anything. Because then you wouldn't buy the Africa Twin.
Right, yeah.
And so these...
Competition for themselves.
Yeah, the Ibex Moto or the Kobe comes out, and they've got... They're trying to sell you this bike, and that's it. It's the only one they have in the States at all. So it's going to do everything really good, and it's going to be able to on-road and off-road, because if it can't, you're not going to buy it. And it's going to have this good of suspension and this kind of thing and that kind of thing. And so maybe the same kind of thing with the truck, though, is that that truck is the truck they're selling. So it doesn't have to have an F-150 variant that it can't be better than, and it doesn't have to have a Super Duty variant that it can't be better than, or a, you know, keeping in the Ford range, a Maverick variant that it can't be better than. It can just be as good as it can be without cross-battling its own lineup.
Do one thing and do it really goddamn good.
Right, even if it's 11 things.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a really good point. That's probably a benefit of a young auto manufacturer or any manufacturer, because they don't have this like history. It's like, your example is perfect, or it's like the Boxster problem, right? When the Boxster came out, like it historically, maybe not when it came out. So like when, whatever, as it grew, it essentially got to the point where they ended up just saying, okay, this can't be better than a 911. So it stops here. Like, it's just not, it doesn't stop. The 911 grows as well, right? As far as like its performance, but like they were close with a 4-liter GTS came in to outperforming GT3s, and then realized that's probably not going to be great for their, you know, they can't sell a cheaper car that's better. So here we are.
Yeah. Just not bound by that when you don't have a whole bunch of other options.
I was looking at their, what models they like, how many models they have, more than I expected, but obviously because they're in China,
BYD's so got a ton of cars,
what all they have, but I'm loving some of the names. We've got a Destroyer, we've got the Han, the Quinn, the Seal, there's a Dolphin, there's a Seagull,
wow,
there's a Racco,
hold on,
there's not a Mustang, there's a
Da Tang,
there's a Sea Lion.
I like that they really went in on the
song
animal names.
I like that.
Song Plus, Song Pro, a Tang, a Yuan.
Does everybody know what BYD stands for or remember that?
Then there's the Shark, the Zia.
Build your dreams.
Oh,
M6, E6,
D1. That's sweet.
Isn't that nice?
That's
Z9. Z9's kind of like Porsche looking almost, like bad Porsche. B5, B8, N7, N8L, N9, D9, U7. Oh,
you're naming U8. Off a lot more than what I was assuming.
Yeah. U9. U9's their sports car. That thing's kind of cool looking.
There are a lot of cars.
They've got a Bao 5 and 8. They've got a TIE 3, TIE 7.
TIE Fighter?
Man, yeah, that's cool. They got tons of
don't,
stuff.
Don't forget the Yang Wang line.
And the Yang Wang. Yeah, the Yang Wang line. Well, the Yang Wang line is the U7, U8, and U9.
Those are the ones
got it, okay.
That got, Grindhard did a full series on one of their tiny cars.
You were thinking of the Chang Li, oh, which Chang is not Li. A BYD. Chang That's not a BYD Li. Product. Oh,
okay. Darn. All right. Going places you can't even walk.
There you go. Thank you.
That's their tagline.
I love it. I love that he just says that all the time. Just, I know. As he's like pushing it up a hill. Going places you can't even walk.
Yeah, it failed on every account. It was so good.
Yeah, check this thing out, man.
That thing is sweet. It's like kind of McLaren-y.
Yeah.
Fast. So unofficially the fastest production car in the world with a top speed of 496 kilometers an hour.
308 miles an hour.
Quote, extreme with an X, Sean, variant.
Of course. Unofficial is weird. Does that mean it did it one time and didn't confirm it on the way back? Or like,
and they didn't have the camera on because...
Nürburgring lap time of 7 minutes and 17.9 seconds.
That's pretty fast.
That's a good one.
Straight line top speed, 391.94.
Jeez.
Jesus Christ.
That's very fast.
Cool. And it's only got 322 horsepower. Oh, no, here we go. Okay, that's electric motors, providing a total power output of 1,287.
I was going to say, I was like, none of those times work.
Wait, hold on.
Now they're liars. It's got a simulated.
It's really light.
It's a simulated test of.
Are you telling me that my LS Swap Suburban could do the Nuremberg in 7 minutes?
Yeah, no, they dropped it out of an airplane, and as it fell towards the earth, it clocked a speed of.
Yeah. Man, yeah, that thing's cool. Look at that.
Yeah.
I like
That's
it.
Sweet.
I'm a fan.
Not a fan of the color, but, you know.
I love a good burgundy.
Yeah, yeah, it's like a candy, candy color.
That's blue, right? Sean.
Oh, shoot. I do like blue, actually. So. Like Colin's old truck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice blue gray.
Well, Colin, do you have any of our favorite game? For this episode?
For this episode of the Campfire Passport Podcast?
Wow.
Thank you, Mike. Yeah. You got it, Mike.
Sponsored in part by Wynn Home Inspection.
That's all right. Clearly. We get it every time. I mean,
happens eventually.
We always get there at some point. I'm going to say, since I think it's been the longest since Jesse was here, Jesse can select where we start today.
Ooh. And I do have one myself.
Oh, wow. I've got four.
I brought four.
We probably won't get to it, but I've got.
Okay.
I mean, we got time.
Up to six. Where do we
start? I don't.
It's
you biggest had a hard tire size.
We're not even there.
What's that? Where are we going with, Jesse?
Biggest tire size.
Biggest tires. Biggest tires is, yep, definitely this one.
I like that.
How
it's
are we
going to
know if Jesse's
choice.
Isn't
it is,
bigger?
It is. It's a pretty clear cut choice on what one has the biggest tires. You'll see why as we go.
It's a monster truck. Shit. Come on, monster truck. Come monster on, monster truck.
Well, and my list thing is not Redmond available anymore.
Oh.
All right. So I've got an 02 Grand Cherokee. Unfortunately, the 4.7 in it. So that is a down vote. Right off the jump, but 3-link.
What is that?
Chrysler 9.25 in the front.
What?
Power Tracks locker, full Heim steering, steering box ported for hydro assist.
Excuse me, I have a question.
Yeah.
What is that front axle?
Yeah.
I don't know. Look it up, Sean. I'm reading.
I'm going to look it up. Right,
sorry.
Four link Chevy 14 bolt in the back with a Grizzly locker. It's got the 242 swap in it. 10 inch sub. Got to have that. 13,500 pound winch. Bring your own wheels and tires. So I guess maybe I should have read further. Sorry, Jesse, this doesn't have the biggest tires.
That's the smallest tires.
Yeah.
Because it has no tire.
At the moment, it is on 40s in the pictures. Please don't offer dirt bikes, boats, or other built wheelers for trade. I cannot accept them.
He got a DUI.
Contractually obligated.
He got a DUI. He cannot drive.
So $9,000, but no wheels and tires. So, and it's got the bad engine. So,
well,
tough.
We're going to pause for a second.
It is red.
I figured out what that axle is.
Yes.
It's the Mega Cab 2003 to 2024 3500 axle. So it's.
Okay.
Okay.
I read that as all 2500, 3500 Ram solid front axle, AAM, and Chrysler 9.25.
Yeah.
So
okay.
Yes. Yes, and
so it is a full size axle.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
To match the rear full size axle. Okay. No.
And they actually make parts for them. It looks like.
Well, and some of the 1500 mega cabs, apparently.
Oh, I saw. I saw 1500 HD. So yep.
Yeah, I was looking through, and there's more things that it says it goes to as I continue to scroll down. I just didn't
also,
do that.
Also,
it's practically a snow wheeler.
33 spline shafts, though.
It's practically a snow wheeler.
And 3430 chromoly shafts as well.
Narrow front bumper with a big stinger on it.
Huh. Yeah.
I got my answer. Nope.
I think.
We got an 11 second video. Well, check engine lights on. ABS lights on.
But it is doing highway speeds. But the speedo,
is it hard to tell?
You can't tell how fast
that's going. Speedometer's not going anywhere.
It's on a highway. It's whatever highway it's on.
62 miles
some
an hour.
Speed.
That's crazy. Yeah, I'm a no. I don't. This is not the aborted Jeep project for me.
Yeah. Why would I want a rig with the wrong V8 and the wrong and no tires and wheel for $9,000?
You got a trailer. You can just drag it on the trailer.
You did forget that it has a 10-inch sub.
Yeah. Come on, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. What? To pound down the snow as you're going through it.
Bilstein 5100s, maybe, looks like.
I'm a no, but I would have thought more about it if it had the better motor. I do like the idea of being a 14 bolt in the rear and that Dodge big front end.
Well, I mean,
cool. And
yeah, it's
got
cool.
Some good parts.
Tons and links is a good start.
Yeah, I don't want to motor swap something because it has a blown head gasket. He might not know that. He might not be aware yet, but it does. Yeah. Or a hole in the cylinder.
By the time you get
it
home,
it is not attached.
You know it's going to be,
something.
And you already got to spend $5,000 on wheels and tires immediately.
Yeah. Right.
Not around here. You can find cheap 40s in Super Duty or
it's not a Super Duty. You have to fight them on 8 on 6.5.
It's even better.
Well, you just said Super Duty. Sorry, don't correct me.
Well, you can find them on Super Duty wheels very cheap and pretty readily. It depends on how good a quality you want them.
Exactly.
You just have to get wheels.
I like good quality.
I prefer nice quality wheels to tires.
I'm just saying, for $2,500, I bet you could get tires on that thing in 40s. Maybe less.
I mean, you could just about buy your Patagonias for that kind of money. I think you maybe could buy them. Then cheap
and
wheels.
And that new Pat. Hey, sorry to distract, but that new Pat does look nice.
It does look way better.
It's
I'm sure they're going to sell a metric ton of them.
I really like my Patagonias.
People love them. I just think they're ugly.
I don't know if you watched it, but I saw Dave's... Dave Chappelle, not the comedian, his
White
thing
Dave.
Down at Hammers, and he's buddies with the development head or whatever of at Milestar, and he was talking to him, and he actually worked, he made Falcon what Falcon is,
yeah,
and then left to work for Milestar, and now he is like heading up how they're going to make Milestar better.
Graham. Like,
nice. So, which that's, I mean, that's good signs all around.
Graham was GFAB. So local Graham.
I'm also a no.
I'm a no as well. But Graham was involved in it. He said that they used to send him tires and he'd run them, and then he'd send him an email and they'd make changes. And like, he's like, I wouldn't run the old ones anymore. But the MTO2s, the ones you buy off the shelf, are better than like the stickies they were getting, the comp style tires, mm-hmm. by a long shot. They're not blowing out sidewalls anymore. They're in a much better position. He's like, I run them on all my stuff for snow wheeling, and they keep sending them to him, so he keeps running them, sort of deal. But he's like, they're very receptive. They're very interested in like hearing what you have to say about them, hearing about your failures. You know, even if it's a your fault kind of failure, they're interested in knowing about what they're doing. And then he's been cutting the tires a little differently. So he's going in with a tire groover and like trying different things and then telling them about it. So he has like this outer lug cut that he told me to do. And it's just like one of the rain grooves. You just make it a bit bigger and it'll air down less, but get more contact patch fold over.
Because it's making it by less a lot. Stiff. On the, right,
and he's like, it was just this
side,
one spot that he found that if you do that, it makes a huge difference. And so he's like, I sent that into them, and they're gonna see what they can do about making that work better. And yes.
yeah. Wait, what? Like, we have to have a conversation about this.
Yeah.
This
move on.
Where we're going.
Yep.
Next rig.
So this is a '94 Ford Bronco in forestry green. With a white top.
I'm already hard. You don't have to keep going.
65,000 miles. Newer motor with 135,000, so 30,000 less miles.
Is it really a manual transmission?
New clutch, new brakes, new tires, new carpet kit, new rear panels redone in tan vinyl, relays for the back window replaced, works flawlessly, sat under cover for 12 years, no rust, paints almost perfect, two small quarter-size dents in the back bumper, or by back bumper, does not leak, top has never been off.
Oh my God, this is a future classic.
It's perfect.
I hope whoever buys this either does one of two things, and one of them is do whatever they want, the other one is sits on it, because this is a gold mine.
Yeah, you just,
oh,
you can daily it if you want to, but like, don't, I wouldn't.
So clean.
Just leave it as is.
Yeah.
Maybe like, refurb the steering wheel, do like old man resto stuff to it, and just drive it.
Bring the front up just a touch because it's probably sagging a little. Bring the left side up a little bit because it's sagging a little.
It doesn't get any better.
No, it's perfect.
It's got the early tailgate on it too.
And it's,
yeah, so for our listening audience, green. Forest Service green 94 Bronco.
It's like, perfect.
This is
so clean. So
it just
so
doesn't
clean.
Get a lot better than that.
Yeah. And We were all instantly yeses.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Immediately. So. First picture was a yep.
I don't remember what I was talking about when it came up. I don't remember where in the moment was.
It's got, I'll also mention, it's got the smoothie front bumper, the ventless front bumper, which is super cool. Like, those are hard to find.
And what, aluminum 16s? Just like it's supposed to?
Yeah.
God damn. Yep.
Some center ones.
God damn.
Yep.
Yeah, that thing does have a broken vent.
Oh,
I don't care.
I
don't know. I guess maybe I don't want it.
Broken vent.
Yeah, there's no way to get any of those. Or
it's got a sweet stereo. That's Brad's. A period correct CD player. Right there.
Pioneer.
Absolutely is.
It's not even a flip down. Face.
It does the weird like wave things as you.
I was gonna
play
say
music.
It's not nice enough to have the dolphins.
So. No, not the dolphins. No
not
way.
Quite.
You just have like the little the little bars that go up and down.
It's a forestry rig. They had to get the modest stereo in there. So
they still paid government prices for it, so it was $2,000.
You'll notice it was a stripped bass model.
Yeah.
It's got the half door card.
Mm-hmm. Which is cool.
Which, super cool.
I want to see the color of this awesome rig I'm in from inside.
Yeah.
I've wanted a Forest Service green vehicle of some kind forever, and I've never been able to make it happen. And all the vehicles that I've owned, not a single one. But man, if I ever paint something, whatever needs to be painted first, whether it's the Miata or the Jeep, something's going to be Forest Service green. I don't care.
Well, the interior of mine is still Forest Service green.
I know.
And I will never change
and it's
that.
Cool.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. I like that. All right, the next green vehicle I've got is a 2000 Nissan Xterra with an E.
Used to be a Terra.
What?
So 4x4 lifted on 33-inch tires. Great off-road. Great on gas. Drives great. Very cool with a K. Little truck. Clean title. Nice stereo. Wired for sub. And amp.
And amp.
Tow package. And off-road lights. 4K or best offer. Or traits. So we're talking dark green and the rear
job,
cargo area has been cut out.
Yep.
And there's a truck bed toolbox sitting in
taking there. The whole thing, maybe.
Yeah.
Functionally less good. And then the good gas mileage and then those giant red lights on top don't really match.
And that thing bumper. Whistles.
Well, you gotta have your spotties.
I bet that thing whistles like a harmonica going down the road.
And red suspension parts on the front too.
Yeah, that's
so. That's funny. Painted. He put those lights up there. He's got the factory rack, but he took the cargo box wind deflector that's on the factory rack out.
Well, because the lights weren't loud enough by themselves, he had to get
needed to make more noise. Yeah.
Wow, that's
so
bad.
Looks like like they chopped the rear hatch to make the rear window there.
No,
that doesn't look good at all.
No.
But there's probably no close-ups of that, right?
Colin, you know you're a no on this. Don't.
I mean, come on. I mean, the guy tried.
It looks like there's a tarp wrapped around the corner.
That's literally words.
It looks
that
like
I'm
pants.
Never
if you can zoom in
mouth.
On that crease there in the back of the tailgate, that looks like pants.
A little bit, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, we got the interior here. Yeah. You know, it's fairly clean looking.
Exactly zero part of me that wants this.
There's never.
Yeah, congratulations. You took care of a pile of shit.
Hey, nope. Come on.
I don't think so.
This poor Nissan Xterra lover.
He doesn't love it enough to keep it.
Doesn't have
back seats. Pulled the back seats out.
Yeah. I wonder if it's a pass through.
Oh, maybe. I might be in then.
It's a pass-through. I had no pictures.
Don't get me wrong. I love an Xterra.
Look at that throttle body.
I said yes to the purple one.
Yeah. Red, it matches the lights.
So that's a V6, so it's a VQ. So it doesn't sound good either.
Are those VQs?
I see no redeeming qualities other than the fact that it's green, I suppose, if I'm trying to find the silver lining.
Good dark color.
And it looks shiny in the rain, but I bet you it's faded. I bet you know where every bit of clear coat isn't.
It's got ugly Pro Comp wheels. Ooh, look at he's got the race pedals
covers.
Ooh.
Yeah,
the ones with
the clampies on the back.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, well, that way you don't get 100% throttle anymore because they clamp around the back and fasten.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's okay because they're slow no matter how much throttle you give them. That's the bright side there.
I bet it's straight piped and it sounds awful.
It doesn't say anything about exhaust. It's got the sidestep still on
but
it.
But he spelled cool with a K.
Yeah.
And he's got...
How else would you spell it?
I guarantee you this guy owns a Sawzall looking at the back of that truck, so there is no exhaust. It is straight piped.
No, this was...
The cats are gone.
Professionally done. What do you mean?
The cats are gone. So is the muffler.
One side's better than the other.
Why are you defending this thing, Colin? Like, I'm so confused.
I'm just making an
the
argument
entire
for it. I'm
time,
not saying
you've been defending
I'd buy because I wouldn't. I'm just, you know.
All right.
But come on. Don't be so mean to it. Like, what
man,
the fuck
you guys
is...
shut it down so quickly. That's my, you know, come on. You shut it down almost as quickly as you said yes to the Bronco.
I think as.
Well, yeah. I mean.
I think they're opposites on the spectrum.
Opposites on the spectrum. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, here's my small tire selection. Smallest tire selections. I've got a supercharged rear-wheel drive Toyota 4Runner, 16,000. It's a 97 clean title, 3.4 supercharged with a Magnuson, which was brand new, $4,300 alone. Two-wheel drive Tacoma frame swap in 2001, or maybe the frame is 2001. Rebuilt five-speed R150 by TNT Transmissions. Sprung puck clutch, 8.4 rear axle with a Grizzly locker and 358s. Beltec lowering kit. That's right. You heard me right. Lowering kit. C-notched frame. Vented front rotors. Frenched in leaf spring hangers. Doubled in deck. Beltec shocks. DNJ ball joint flip. 16x8 MST rims. Brand new 40 series tires. See, told you they're small. 40 series.
It's on 40s.
It's on. Yeah, it's on. This is the other 40.
Yeah.
New 2000 style tail lights, LED headlights, full exhaust, Magnaflow, front windows tinted. Just got it done. Fresh frame off build. Needs power steering hoses hooked up. AC recharged. 16K. Don't like it. Build one.
So hold on.
I love combative.
Frame was off.
So, much.
So full frame off build. Not body off. Just frame off build.
That's
right.
Like a common thing
hook
people
up
say.
The AC lines?
Well, you know.
I mean,
it looks like decent work, honestly. Yeah. Like that notch looks good.
Yeah.
I'm not hating on the whole thing. I think that.
It is some help in the wheel and tire department.
Yeah, they're not quite big enough for the wheel wells.
Yes. Sorry, man, 16s aren't it for this.
It's also just an odd thing to see a 4Runner like.
It's like a lowered
low
XJ.
Like
you know, there's some guys
kind
that
of plays with your mind a little bit.
Two wheel drive lowered XJs.
You've seen them, yeah. Same with an XJ, yeah. But you've seen them like bagged with big wheels, and it works.
Yes.
This is odd.
Yeah, it needs more wheel.
Yeah.
Well, there we go. There it is, stock.
Wasn't a looker then, that's for sure.
But,
huh. That's
also
intriguing.
Why did you build the whole thing and then put it up for sale, brand new build? What's wrong with it?
He just doesn't like it.
Yeah, he doesn't like it. He built he built this. He wanted a drift car and thought it'd be cool to build a drift truck and then found out pretty quick that it sucks. And he should have built a car.
Yeah, that's definitely possible. It's not. Is it a manual?
It is.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's an R150.
And it's got the worst clutch for a street driver.
It's a no for me, dog. If I want an SUV this low, I want a CRV.
See?
Okay.
Like that's my thing.
Fair.
Like,
that's fair.
I'd go the other way.
Going, like a CRV
I'm going bigger.
Built like this.
Yeah, I'd go bigger. I'd want a Tahoe on like
Tahoe
doors.
Yeah, Tahoe
maybe,
Escalade.
Yeah,
maybe it's the tire not size this. That's screwing it up for me because like I could see the wheel and tires on a CRV and be like, okay, cool. Like you're not so long. You're a little bit shorter.
Well, and it's got smaller wheel wells in general.
Yeah, so it would look
18s
more
or 20s at least. This thing,
yeah.
I think that would
do it a lot of favors.
18 on this for sure.
I think for less than 16 grand, I could buy a 2010 Tahoe.
Shit.
Lower it on bags. Sean's got to go. His moped's on fire.
I gotta go. Yeah.
Well,
all right. Love you guys.
Bye, Sean.
Bye,
love
Sean.
You.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would build a Tahoe for less money and have a V8 sounds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm close, but I'm a no. It's right there. It doesn't help that I'm not a Toyota person to begin with.
Yeah.
So,
but there's just better options. There's so many better things you could do that would be.
I'm going to be uncomfortable driving it. And
the seats, your legs
the way
are still
seat,
straight.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to feel like you're really low.
Yeah.
But
it's got the seating position of my Miata.
Your Audi.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I probably sit like more proud in the Audi than this, even though the Audi is definitely lower than this. Yeah. Not to say this isn't low. Like it's for
it's
a 4Runner,
low.
That's fucking dumped.
Well, and I bet you take those side steps off and it's not
if yeah, with the sidesteps off, it's definitely, it wouldn't look as low.
But I bet the frame's down low. I bet all that stuff's good. But I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I hate those
steps. This is the kind of low, like the, when I see SUVs that are lowered, this is, I love it because it's the kind of low that can look really good, but is not going to be a detriment to your driving whatsoever.
Yep. Yeah.
Like you're not worried about entries. You're not worried about speed bumps, like nothing, like nothing ever is going to touch, but it's low enough that it looks cool because it shouldn't be down.
I told Haley, Haley's like, I really need shocks for the Tahoe. And I was like, you bet. You just wait. And like, you bet. We're going to get you some shocks for the Tahoe. And she goes, you're not going to lower it, right? And I said, well, I was going to lower it.
I think we're going to lower it, yeah.
Yeah, and she goes,
a little
bit. But, you know, I don't want it to be like the Miata going around scraping it. And I was like, no, not even close. Not even a similar thing at all. You're going to be higher up than a stock Honda Civic and still look great on 20s.
Yeah.
Like, that's, you're going to, don't worry about a thing. It'll be easier to get in and out of. You'll still be great in the snow.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you worry about it.
Still wouldn't worry about it, yeah. Jesse, you want to do yours?
No, it won't bring up the listing anymore. Oh. It says it's gone. Okay. So don't worry. The tires were bigger. They were. It was. So I'll just say.
No, don't say it. No, you're gonna have to bring it up later.
No, I can't because the listing is gone.
Oh, the listing actually doesn't work.
So that means somebody.
Yeah, the listing has been deleted. Like I cannot see it.
That is a scam boy move. That's when people are like selling things that they don't feel confident in. They'll delete the listing instead of marking it sold.
Yeah.
That is.
Yeah, I've never deleted a listing. I've always just marked it sold.
Just mark it sold. Because if you delete the listing, you can't contact that person anymore. All the contacts are gone. You have to find out who it was. You have to friend them for them to respond to you. Otherwise, they won't. I've had somebody do that to me. And it turned out it wasn't a scam. It was just an old guy. In that one, but it was like, you fucking with me? Like, did you sell me some shit?
No, I just don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah, no, it turns out he was like, hey, you know, you were going to reach back out about the title. And I was like, yeah, I've been trying. He goes, oh, I didn't get anything. And I was like,
why didn't you call me? Classic old guy move. Just call me.
Yeah. He had the title and the extra key that he said he did. It was all fine. But it was like, shit. It was when I traded the Jeep for the Jeep.
The Jeep for the Jeep.
Yeah.
Jeep for a Jeep.
So what was it, Jesse? Give us the rundown.
It was a fourth gen, third gen Toyota on Dana 60 front, Corpa 14 rear, 44s, four lane,
what?
Front and rear.
Toyota what though?
Fourth gen Toyota, pickup. Okay. Tacoma, not Tacoma. A pickup.
Like, is it a 4Runner? Because they're vastly different.
So that's
if the 4Runner's got a different set of generations.
It was like my white
one. Your black one?
Yeah.
Oh, white like one. Your white one. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'm out.
Yeah. It was like my white one, but it
tons,
was
44s.
Gray, tons, hydro, four link, front, rear, 44s. It was.
What, built, what
white
cab?
Nice.
Four door?
Crew cab.
Crew cab?
Yeah.
Hmm. I'm a maybe, actually.
It was, honestly, I was like, oh, dude, I wish Steve would let me do this. Steve, can you make some more money, please?
Was it the 3.5 or the?
Yeah, it's a 3.5.
3.5.
But it had the Marlin Crawler dual T case with a manual transmission.
Okay. Yeah, I think I would, honestly, and this is going to be me being old about this. I would probably have preferred the 10-speed auto. I don't know if they're strong enough to be useful in that situation.
They didn't have a 10-speed auto in that.
Wasn't the last few last few years of that generation 10-speed?
I don't believe so. They didn't move to the 10-speed until they went to that fourth gen. To,
was it 8-speed then in the last few?
No, there wasn't even an 8-speed.
6.
Yeah.
I really feel like
the Colorados were. But,
yeah. But that third gen Tacoma did not have anything better than a 6-speed.
Yeah, I don't remember.
And that was one of their big problems.
But I also wasn't a huge follower of them. I'm ruining my algorithm. I searched Tacoma just to see if I could pull it up, see if I could randomly like scroll across it, but I'm not.
No, you're right.
Not seeing one.
Noted things that come up. The six-speed AC60 unit was known to be reliable, but had a gear hunting behavior to the point where some people thought it had more gears than it did.
Because it kept shifting.
It just shifted all over the place, whether you like it or not.